and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howard. As always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Nellie Jo Rainer, my wife, it's long suffering. Now, that is not a softball, Jonathan. You're looking at me and you're
just going to leave that one alone.
There's so many things that you can say, but there have been so many times as the president of Lifeway, as the dean of Southern, and particularly as a pastor of four different churches, that I would just come home and just say, I quit. Yep, I'm not going back to that place. I'm just fed up with it. I can't take it anymore. And I'm not sure all the things that she said or didn't say. She probably just didn't say anything. Mm. She just, probably nodded. Maybe we got an I'm sorry out of it, because she knew I wasn't quitting. But she knew that my emotions were on edge, that I was frustrated with that deacon, that I was mad with that member, that I couldn't understand why the attendance had been down for six straight weeks. And the list could go on and on, why they didn't catch the vision. And I would just say, I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to quit. It is one of the most normal things for a pastor, and by the way, by extension, other staff members as well. My guess is that your wife, the children's minister, Beth, has her moments where she says, she may not quit, but I bet she has her moments of frustration.
Oh, of course.
I mean, we all do. I know
no matter what line of work you're in.
I understand that, but
except when I'm working for you.
There's nothing but joy in working for me.
Exactly.
Well, Beth has learned perseverance because she's married to you. So
I didn't walk into that one earlier.
You work for me, so I can do that.
Okay,
but we'll be talking about this issue of pastors getting ready to quit. Now, here's the reality: there are times that you are supposed to move on.
Yes.
We don't want to suggest that anybody that moves from one church to another is not in God's will, but there are times when you need to just pause and ask the question, is it really time for me to leave, or is this something that I should consider prayerfully, slowly, methodically, and give it a little time?
Yeah, because as we've talked about in our numerous discussions on pastor tenure, a lot of times this too will pass.
Yes.
And that kind of brings us to number one, many storms pass quickly.
Well, I'm just thinking of things here at Lifeway, Jonathan. I'm not going to go through them because obviously this isn't the right forum to do so. But I'm thinking about what was top of the list of things that were bothering us a year ago or 2 years ago, even 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And now the storms have passed.
Yeah.
And so now we've got our other concerns. We're worried about.
There are new storms.
There are new storms. But the reality.
They'll pass too.
They will. It is rare that something just does not go away indefinitely. And I wish that I had that perspective a little bit better when I was a pastor, and that I would understand that this particular critic may not be my critic 6 months from now. This dire issue may not be as dire in 8 months from now, or that the offerings being down will be fine within a month or two. All of those things. Every time I went through something, I was always surprised how silly I was to be worried about them at the moment because they passed.
Yeah. A bigger perspective is generally needed.
Absolutely.
Within a crisis, especially within a crisis, you need a bigger perspective of a longer time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Number two, it's probably not you.
Okay, pastors.
Probably.
Yes, probably not you, and the probably is in there for a reason. Sometimes it might be you, and you can't do anything about it. It's probably not you. And this is a word for you pastors, you associate executive pastors, children's ministers, student pastors, the list could go on and on. You are the target. You are the person that those who are involved in that ministry and know that ministry or that church, you're the one that they're looking toward. Leadership always gets the most attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so those who are in your ministry, those that serve within your context, if they're frustrated with something, they may think it's you. They may think that you're the problem, or they just may have a problem. But critics and dissidents see you as a convenient target. And the reality of it is sometimes they're not really frustrated at you. I had an occasion where one of my more frequent critics came in, and I was ready to just unload on him. This was when I was a pastor. And instead of unloading on him, I don't know why I did this. I'm not smart enough to have strategically thought it through. But I asked him how his family was doing. And he just started crying.
Wow.
He broke down crying. I did not know that his son, his adult son, had attempted suicide 30 days earlier.
Wow.
and that heavy burden was on him, the burden that caused him to attempt suicide, the burden wondering he survived, wondering if he was going to commit suicide again. Yeah. And it hit me. This guy thinks he's mad at me, but he is really hurting.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many times I just blew it by not asking a different kind of question instead of being defensive or being in attack mode as a result. So, pastor, staff member, it's probably not you.
Because number three, the vast majority of the congregation typically supports you.
You know, that is true in almost all cases. Certainly there are exceptions. But here's something that I am noticing. Minority groups are rising up and causing a lot of problems, even dismissal of pastors and staff. And the majority groups who love are not defending them.
Because they don't see an issue until it's too late.
And
a lot of times,
once it's already done, it's the harm has already been inflicted, and you're right, it's too late. But here's the reality. The vast majority of the congregation support you. I was talking to a pastor in Oklahoma who's part of Assembly of God. He's one of my coaching students in Platinum, and he said that their process for pastor coming to a church is you get voted on first after 1 year, then after 4 years, then after in 3 year increments thereof.
Term limits.
Term limits, but you can vote them back in. And he had always said that if he got less than 85% is a majority vote to keep him, that he probably wouldn't stick around. He got 67% first time because he'd introduced so much change. And he said he came that close. If you could see my hands, it would be showing something very small. He came very, very close to leaving, but he decided to stick it out. 4 years later, I don't remember the exact numbers, but they went up to about 78, 79. 3 years later, they decided to do a five-year term, which they were allowed to do, and it was like 92, 93%.
It goes back to pastoral tenure, though.
Pastoral tenure and the fact that they're upset at change more than they're upset at you personally. And he said, now I'm in a sweet spot.
And now that the change becomes normative, they're happy about it.
They're happy, and it's time for more change.
That worked last time. We'll do it again.
Well, he realized, he said, a lot of the same people were still there, but now it wasn't that he had done anything differently. They had just become accustomed to the change. And so the vast majority supported him. They were just scared of the change that was taking place.
Wow, fascinating.
I'm learning a lot from these guys.
Yeah. Number four, remember your call.
Almost everybody has a clear recollection. Almost everybody who is in vocational ministry has a clear recollection of the time they sense God calling them. That call comes in different forms, different experiences, different understandings. But the reality of it is most of those who are in vocational ministry know that God has called them. Most of them even will have a specific call to a certain place, a church. And when we are in difficult positions, when we are going through trials, when we are saying, I quit, remember who hired you. And I use that word loosely.
Yeah.
I'm talking about remember who put you there. It wasn't a search committee. Direct. It may have been indirectly, but directly it was God. It wasn't the elders. It wasn't a pastor, a lead pastor, a senior pastor who hired you. It was God. And remember, he who called you there will be faithful to keep you there as long as you are supposed to be there.
Number five is that, we've talked about it a lot, longer-term pastors see better days.
Yeah, that is a good general rule. While there are always exceptions, a number of times I've said, is that just a law? The longer you stay, the better it gets? No, but it is most of the time because they trust you. And I'm talking about a leadership trust factor. They may trust you morally. They may trust your character. But the leadership trust factor usually kicks in about the fifth year where the congregation says, we really trust you. With the average tenure of a pastor in the United States being a little over 3.5 years, then that doesn't happen that much.
Yeah.
And so longer-term pastors see better days. And typically, some of the best days come even after a decade. Mm. And there are not a lot of pastors that make it that 10th year.
About how many pastors, percentage-wise, make it to that 10th year?
I'm speculating, so this is really off the top of my head. I would say 3-4%.
Wow.
We'll make it to the 10-year mark. And, I may even be exaggerating that number, but I'm thinking of all the pastors. I'm just going through every pastor I've spoken with, known, and trying to. And, it'd be less than a handful percentage-wise.
But the ones that usually make it to 10, a lot of times make it to 20.
Yeah, they do.
Because things are going well.
Things are going well. And then let's say you came to a church when you're 40 and it's 20 years later, you're 60. So you don't typically make a life change at that point as well.
That's a good point there.
Yeah.
Number seven, it's not better in other churches. Green grass syndrome right here.
Yeah. I would always have the green grass syndrome when I was a pastor. And I'd look at, when I was at the Green Valley Church in Birmingham, I would look at the Hunter Street Baptist Church and
Buddy Gray
and all the good things that were going on there. When I was in Louisville, Kentucky, and at the Hopewell Baptist Church, I was looking at Southeast Christian Church, and our church was averaging 160 and their church was averaging 18,000. And
I said, 160 and like four pews down in the bottom right hand corner over there.
And I'd say, oh my goodness, what would it be like to be in that church? And years and a little bit of wisdom have informed me that bigger is not better. Change is not necessarily great. Wherever you go, it is going to be there are going to be problems. When we release this blog post from which we're basing this podcast, I would encourage you listeners to go back and read the comments. One commenter said something that I thought was very insightful. He said that what he has learned is that of all of his frustrations that lead him to think, I want to quit, one third of them are things that he's doing wrong. Mm. One third of them are things that are in the church, that are actually in that church. One third are things that are common in every church. Yeah. And he said, if I go to another church, I carry two thirds of those things with me.
That's a great point, though.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Can we do this? Can we find out who got that comment, and we'll send them a book,
a free book.
So we'll note, and maybe one of the Amys, even as we're talking here, can give us the name of that commenter, because that was I take two thirds of the issues with me no matter where I go. Mm-hmm. One third of them are specific to the church.
Great comment.
It is.
Number eight, the changing culture frustrates many church members. Is that culture in the church or outside of the church? Or both?
Is culture outside the church affecting the culture inside the church?
Okay. So both cultures are changing.
Both cultures are changing, but the steady influence of outside the church. Let me give you an example. And I think I may have mentioned this in another podcast. So there is a church in the Nashville area, and I won't give any more details than that. And they are the members are so frustrated in terms of the way culture is changing. And their frustration is now at a boiling point. And so basically they told many of their members that if they want to keep coming to the church, if they're men, they have to wear a coat and tie. If they're women, they have to be in a certain dress. The only acceptable musical instruments in the future will be the piano and the organ, and those are the only two. And they just went on and on because, again, those seem like silly things, but they're so frustrated at the pace of cultural change. We look at the sexual mores that have shifted so dramatically. We look at what is acceptable on television and the movies, and I could go on and on. And it's causing so much frustration with church members. They want their church to be the place of stability. Mm. And that's good, but sometimes stability is defined as past methodologies.
Yeah, how it was 50 years ago.
50 years ago, 15 years ago. You saw an email that I got. I saw the sparkle in your eye. You saw an email that I got not too long ago that if we would just go back to the way we were doing some things, churches would be okay. And the implications were methodology. The implications were the non-essentials. And you and I just kind of rolled our eyes because we said, well, we know what kind of church he's talking about.
Yeah.
And,
the same kind that you're talking about here in Nashville.
Exactly.
And you know what? It won't be that will not succeed.
That will not succeed. That is not the issue. But let's get a little pastoral about this. Pastors need to understand that many of their members are fearful. Many of their members do not know how to deal with the cultural changes that are taking place. And they want that church to be a place of stability. They want that church to be an anchor. And pastors need to understand that, and other staff members need to understand that. And what we can do for our members who feel that way is to tie them to the things that matter and not the things that are peripheral, methodological, or even downright silly.
We don't anchor to methodologies.
No, we anchor to the Word of God. We anchor to his promises. We anchor to what he is doing in the church. And if you look at the history of the church, you will see that when the church got that, there have been times when culture has just blown up before. Look at the Greco-Roman Empire and the church of the first four centuries and all the things that it went through. Mm-hmm. It's on a scale of 1 to 10, I think it's just as bad. It's a 9, and we're an 8 today. So it's happened before. It will probably happen again. Jesus is not going to leave us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think there's something biblical about that.
Yeah.
And we can hang on to his truth. But pastors need to understand that that is the core issue that is affecting many of our members. And they're taking their frustration out on methodologies, worship styles, you name it.
And number 9 is probably the most important point in this list and the most important encouragement for pastors to remember, and that is God is with you.
Yeah, the Emmanuel, God is with us. God is present. Hey, before we go to this number 9, I think that Amy J. found the commenter that we like that so much.
Steve McLean.
Steve.
Not Steve McQueen.
Steve, if it had been Steve McQueen, I don't think I would have sent him a book.
Well,
but
it wasn't.
It wasn't. But Steve, thank you for, whether that's a literal number or close to being accurate, I don't know. But it is a great way of grasping this whole thing of green grass syndrome. So
yep.
Thank you, Steve. We'll be sending a book to you with great appreciation, a signed book. And if it's a signed book, I guess it's one that I authored.
Yeah.
So it'll be a book that'll be
one from me.
All right, let's get back to number 9, Jonathan.
Yes, God is with you.
We hold to that truth and theologically. You and I can look at that and we can say we affirm the omnipresence of God. We affirm that he knows everything, the omniscience of God. We can affirm that he is all-powerful, the omnipotence of God. And I could go on with the characteristics of God and who he is and what he is doing in our churches. But many times we do not experientially grasp that. That in the midst of some of our most difficult times, in the midst of some of our greatest challenges in the church, on those days that when we are crying out, I quit, we need to remember that God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes just the realization that the presence of God will never leave us. He promised us he will never leave us, never forsake us. That is what we need to hang on to our ministries and to the churches where we are.
And that's another thing that really underscores the importance of personal devotion and prayer time daily.
Oh, that's a great segue, Jonathan, because we cannot know the presence and power of God if we're not having a personal devotional time. And I've mentioned before on the podcast that I am one of these weird ones in the sense that my personal devotion time is late at night. Most people, you know, I feel guilty when people say you need to wake up to God in the morning, and I go straight to work. But when I'm settling down at nighttime, usually getting texts from you,
you're sending it to me too.
That's true. That's true. But about that time, I settle down. I'm reading the Bible through. I'm way behind because here it is this time of year, and I'm only just finishing Second Chronicles right now. So I'm to be able to get through the whole Bible in a year. I need to pick it up a good bit. But I'll get into one chapter and I just can't get out of it. I'll go back and reread something and say, now, boy, I've read the Bible a lot of times, so that did not happen. And then my prayer and devotional time at nighttime, but we've talked about it. Chuck Lawless has talked about it. He's written about it, that if these church leaders, pastors and other church leaders, do not have a personal devotional time, not preparing for sermons or lessons, but a personal devotional time, then they may not experientially grasp that God is with them.
Vander Blumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Okay, pastors, church staff, those of you who are serving in the moray of church life, I understand fully what you are going through. Been there, done that. Even in my position at Lifeway, in some ways, I understand what you are going through. And I understand that there are days that you are just ready to quit. One of the first things I want to tell you is don't beat yourself up because you have those days. They're normal. You hope you don't let it get too far out of control. Too many people have quit and then said, why did I do that? But understand you're very normal by that. You're not a bad person. You're not a weird person because you have these temptations, thoughts, and even expressions that I quit. So understand that is very normal. Number two, and this really it goes back to the sandwich part of this, the front and the end. Number one, just understand that you're going to get through these things. Most of these issues that just seem so major, most of these issues that just seem like they're insurmountable challenges, they will pass. And connect that to the last point we made. God is with you. He's called you. He's let you become his servant within that church. He's honored you by being a call minister of the gospel. And he who called you will sustain you. So you might be listening to the podcast this day, whether you're listening on the day we release it or some other day down the road. You may be listening to this and you may be thinking, I cannot make it. It's just no way I can hang in there. And maybe the reason you're listening to this podcast is God has worked through it and he is saying, yes, you can. I'm with you. You will see this to the end. That's my prayer for so many of you. That's my prayer for those of you who are struggling. And as always, thanks for being a part of Rainer on Leadership podcast, because for us, it's more than a podcast. It is a ministry where we get to serve each other.
Thanks for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.